6,200. It is the latest figure scientists have arrived at as they attempt to calculate the number of thoughts the average human mind has in a single day. 6,200 thoughts every day, there or thereabouts. Another study revealed that over 80% of our thoughts are negative thoughts. 80%. And so as a result of that, many would advise that you and I engage in positive thinking or attempt to raise our self-esteem in order to preserve or even improve our mental health. Doctors, psychologists, even politicians try to tell us how to think. However, there is someone who tells us how to think, someone who speaks with much greater authority than any doctor or psychologist. In Romans 12, verse number 3, the Holy Spirit tells you and I how to think. Look at that verse with me, Romans 12, verse 3, which is our text. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And that verse can't be looked at in isolation. Really, it stands as a bridge in this chapter, connected to the previous verses, but also to those which follow. And let me explain what I mean. If you look at verse 2 of this chapter, Paul uses that well-known phrase when he's speaking about the Christian. He says, renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. He's pointing out that the believer has a new mind, not like the old one. They're no longer conformed to this world because their new mind doesn't think like the world anymore by the grace of God. And so verse 3 builds on this idea of a renewed mind. What does a mind do? It thinks. That's its function. And you'll see the word think appears 3 times in verse 3. So if you like, verse 3 is an explanation of how the renewed mind should think. So if you're a Christian, you've got a new mind with new thoughts. This verse tells us how that mind should think. But as I said, this verse is also connected to what comes afterwards. Verse 3 of Romans 12 really opens the section in the chapter where Paul begins to speak about spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, which should be put to use by the different members of Christ's church for his glory. So what is the point of verse 3 in that context? Well, Paul sees that the issue of spiritual gifts is one that can lead to pride in our hearts. One that can lead to some members of the body perhaps being excluded. Perhaps even the church to become divided. So before that practical teaching on gifts is given later in the chapter, verse 3 is written to lay the foundation for that teaching. It's written to encourage the readers towards an appropriate attitude, a right way of thinking. So before any Christian, before you today, believer, come to think about your gifts, you must first make sure that you're thinking of yourself with a renewed mind, which is what verse 3 really sets out. It is for every Christian to listen to the commands of this verse. If you look at verse 3, you'll find these words in the middle of the text, to every man that is among you. Everyone. There are no exceptions. The same challenge given by God to the Romans is also given to you and me today. Let us check our own attitudes. In this verse, we'll see how a renewed mind should think. How a renewed mind should think. And the message really is quite simple this morning. There are only 2 points. And the first one answers that question of how a renewed mind should think. Not like this. Not like this. In this verse, Paul first points out what the believers were not to do. What attitude not to hold. how not to think, not like this. And how is that? What is he saying there? He says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not to have an inflated view of himself. This is a warning against pride. And the Apostle Paul, he actually gives us an example of that right kind of thinking in the way he writes this verse. Look at the first part of it. As he opens verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me." What's he talking about with those words, "the grace given unto me"? He's talking about his position as an apostle. Along with the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, he held a position of authority in the church. So the point of that phrase is really to say that his command in this verse is binding, and everyone had better listen to what he's about to say. But his choice of words shows that Paul is thinking with a renewed mind. He could have just said, "I'm an apostle, so listen to what I'm about to say." But when the entire point is about pride, about not thinking too highly of himself, well, that wouldn't be a very consistent approach, would it? Paul wants the people to listen to this instruction, not because he's important or because he is worthy, but because by the grace of God given to him, he's been made an apostle. In these words, Paul is living out what he's commanding in this verse. So what would it mean for you or for I to think of ourselves as higher than we ought to think, or more highly than we ought to think? Well, I'd suggest, first of all, in one way, it would be for us to think of ourselves as higher than others on the basis of worldly conditions. What does that mean? Well, to count yourself worthy because of your rank, because of your wealth, because of your social standing, the circles that you happen to move in. To view yourself in those terms is to be conformed to the world. Paul already warned about that in the previous verse. That is how the world thinks. That's how the world would want us to see ourselves. That we're either among the great and the good, looking down upon all those poor, pitiful common folk, or we are the common people, yet striving with every fibre of our being to climb the ladder in order to be counted amongst the esteemed and distinguished ranks of society. That is what people crave in our culture today. But the Christian is called away from that charade. It's a trap, a snare. In fact, it's a deception. Look with me at Galatians 6, verse 3. Galatians 6, verse 3. There we read, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." As soon as a man thinks himself to be distinguished or worthy, he's fallen into this deception. Why? Because it's not real. The reality, as this verse points out, is that he is nothing. So to think of yourself as any higher than that is more than you ought to think, because it is a lie. If you think that way, you've been deceived. Man, as we've seen, is nothing, but he does have gifts. The chapter we're looking at, Romans 12, it assumes that fact. The verses to follow our text in verse 3, it makes clear that different members of the body have abilities and have talents that are to be used in the Lord's service. So if you and I are nothing, how then can we possess talents? That question leads us to another of the ways in which we can think too highly of ourselves. When we think that the gifts and the abilities that we have are something we've earned or achieved through our own effort. That is how pride displays itself. When we're pleased with ourselves because of what we're able to do, praising ourselves because we're skillful or capable in a particular area, and looking down on those who are not on our level, not as capable as we think we are. That is thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a particular verse that challenges that kind of thinking. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, there we read, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" And perhaps the best way I can illustrate that point is to take you all back to your youth. We all remember that teenager when we're growing up who has the brand new everything. Fancy first car, the nice watch, all the expensive designer clothes. And they walk around everywhere with this kind of swagger as if they own the place. You'll perhaps have a particular person in mind when I make that description. And that young person who thinks of themselves as better than everyone else because of all the great things they have is deceived. Because quite often, everything that they have has been given to them by someone else. Who is it that earned all the money and gave all those gifts to their teenage child? Well, it's the wealthy parents who've provided everything for them. The application is that sometimes we behave like that entitled teenager when it comes to spiritual gifts. You and I have gifts, yes, but we can't think of ourselves as great because of the gifts we have. Why? Because that gift or gifts have come into our ownership not through our own effort or determination or achievement or brilliance, rather in spite of our own unworthiness, sinfulness, nothingness. It is all of God's grace. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Nothing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. These gifts are yours because of someone else. It's because of what Christ has done that we receive gifts. It's because of his perfection that gifts are given to his imperfect people. When we believe our talents to be all of our own doing, we make little of the value of Jesus Christ and his work. The person who thinks too highly of themselves thinks too lowly of their Lord. How does a renewed mind think? Not like this. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There is a way not to think. But we're not left there to work out for ourselves how the renewed mind should think. After Paul says, "not like this," he goes on to say, "but like this." But like this. There's guidance given, if you go back to Romans 12, there's guidance given in the next phrase. This is how to think of yourself. And how is that? To think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. I should point out the use of that word. It doesn't suggest that there's anything in this verse to do with alcohol. That word soberly, it's one just to describe someone thinking clearly or reasonably. In fact, the way that Greek word for soberly is used in other parts of the Bible is very interesting. One of them is Mark 5 verse 15, which you can turn to. Mark 5 verse 15, this well-known passage where the man in Gadara has been possessed with a demon, and Christ casts that demon out into the swine who run into the sea and drown. And verse 15, which we're going to read now, comes after all that has taken place. The demon's been cast out. And we read there in verse 15, "And they," that is the people from the nearby town, "come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind." In his right mind, that is in the Greek the same as what we have translated soberly in Romans 12 verse 3. "In his right mind, and they were afraid." Another verse which uses that word is 2 Corinthians 5:13. You read there, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober," same word, "it is for your cause." What am I getting at here when I refer to those two verses? The alternative to sober-mindedness or being in your right mind is insanity. Like someone who's demon-possessed or beside themselves, to use the phrase in 2 Corinthians. That perhaps sounds quite extreme, given that so many people in our culture today think on those terms with a proud attitude, with a high view of self. But Scripture tells us that that kind of thinking is so unreasonable, it's really a kind of insanity. It's delusional. It's madness. It's not a reasonable way to think at all. That helps us see that these two kinds of thinking are not at all even close to one another. If you think of that demon-possessed man in Mark 5 and his insanity, and then compare it with what the people saw when he was in his right mind, thinking, speaking reasonably, clearly, it's like night and day. And in the same way, thinking highly of yourself is so hugely different, like the other end of the spectrum, when compared to thinking soberly. These two ways of thinking are worlds apart. And the person with the renewed mind will think in a way that stands out against the world we live in, soberly. So what is a reasonable or sober view of self? We go back to Romans 12. Where would we look for guidance as we aim to think soberly of ourselves? Well, the last part of the verse 3 goes on to explain, "Think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Notice that word, according as God hath dealt. It shows us that Paul is answering the how question. You need to think soberly, and this is how it is done. This is the standard by which you ought to estimate and think of yourself, according to this. So to think soberly, we are to think according as God hath dealt. What does that mean? God hath dealt. When we're thinking honestly, when we're thinking reasonably, as the renewed mind should think, we're thinking not in terms of what we have done or achieved or are capable of, but in terms of what we have received from God. We've addressed that point already. It doesn't say, think according as man hath achieved. No, as God hath dealt. And the phrase goes on, according as God hath dealt to every man. Another point that should shape our thinking is to remember that we are not the only person or even member of a select group of saints who have received gifts from the Lord. God hath dealt to every man. The same point is struck in Ephesians 4 verse 7, a verse that when you read it is almost identical or at least very similar to this part of Romans 12 verse 3. Ephesians 4 verse number 7, there you read, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Every one of us. Every individual in the church body, albeit perhaps differently from one another, yet has received something from God. There is not one Christian who has not received anything at all. So there are two ways, if we want to apply this truth, there are two ways of thinking that don't fit what Paul is writing here. One is to think that we're the only gifted person in the room, thinking that we're the talent. Everyone else just needs to stay out of the way. Well, let me do everything, otherwise you're going to mess it all up. To think that way is to forget that God hath dealt to every man. Another way, however, of showing this unreasonable thinking is to believe that the only gifted person in the church is the one who stands in the pulpit and does all of the preaching. Or maybe those individuals who hold office in the church. They're the ones who have the gift from God. They're the ones who've been called to serve him, but not me. Oh no, I'm not gifted like they are. I've not been dealt the hand that they have. So I'd be best just sitting over here on the sidelines and watching, leaving that whole serving God business to the chosen few. That's not thinking soberly. That's not how the renewed mind ought to think, because God hath dealt to every man. You, this morning, listening to this message, you have been given a gift or gifts. Use them. Use them. And the phrase then goes on to speak about the measure. God hath dealt to every man the measure. And you could picture it like someone pouring out glasses of water from a jug. The water is poured into each glass, and there is a definite amount of water in each cup. There's a limitation. There's an amount which we receive from God. It's not limitless. But Scripture speaks of one who received without measure. John 3:34 speaks of Jesus Christ. It says, God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Saviour received from the Father without measure. His filling with the Spirit was not limited. It was not carefully measured out to a particular volume. No, his grace, his ability, his power, his filling, it was without limit. And yet, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the one, if we think about the wording of Romans 12, verse 3, he was the one who had every right to think highly of himself. He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. And yet he is so humble. He became man to die for men, and now is not ashamed to call men his brethren. How much more should we, who are nothing and bring nothing and offer only sin and failure, how much more should we show the humility that Christ did? How much more should we, who've received only a measure, who've been dealt a limited amount, how much more should we think less of ourselves and more highly of Christ? God has dealt to us a measure. A measure of what? To come to the final words of the verse, a measure of faith. What kind of faith is being spoken about here? Is Paul talking about saving faith? That faith that we place on Christ and on his work for our salvation? Well, it's true to say that the faith we place on Christ in salvation is a gift from God, and it is something that should impact on the way we think of ourselves, but I don't think that is the kind of faith Paul's speaking about here. The faith referred to here is connected with the spiritual gifts and talents. The faith, this faith, is the faith to use those gifts. You each this morning have a gift for whatever aspect of service it might be in the Lord's work, and you have a measure of faith. Faith to serve the Lord. Faith to use that gift for his glory. That enabling grace to serve God, it has been measured out for every one of us. This is God's guidance on how to think of yourself. To think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So how does a renewed mind think? Not like this. Not thinking too highly of yourself. Not conformed to the deceived, deluded, even insane thinking of the world. But like this. Thinking soberly. Remembering that all we have comes from God. That gifts have been dealt to every single believer. And that we've received only a measure. 6,200 thoughts every single day. Let me challenge you to consider this morning, how many of those thoughts are of self? How many of those revolve around your own affairs, your own ability, your own aspirations? Are any of your thoughts of Christ? If your answer to that question is no, then it's clear that you've not yet been renewed in your mind by the Spirit of God. You've not yet been made a new creature in Christ. Your thinking and attitude is molded by the deception of the world. That is bondage. It's bondage. See the reality today that by yourself you have nothing. That before God you bring nothing of value. And that without salvation there is nothing for you to look forward to in eternity. But there is grace to be found. There is freedom to enjoy. There is transformation. And it's found in Christ alone. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Be made a new creature in Christ today.